OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, September 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Make way for the new executive power move, using low-tech gadgets. We'll tell you why being less reachable is a flex and who can pull it off. And then, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern has reviewed iPhones for over a decade. Now, she's handing off the job to generative artificial intelligence. The real Joanna will join us to explain why and tell us what she thinks of the answers provided by JoannaBot. But first, are you fed up of hearing your phone beep all the time? Tired of your watch vibrating? Do you just want a break from all your screens? Well, so do executives. And our on-the-clock columnist Callum Borchers is here to tell us how some bosses are pulling back from high tech. So Callum, what has made the use of low-tech or older tech devices such a status symbol?
It's the novelty, right? I mean, if I flash back 15 or 20 years when people had their BlackBerries, that was the status symbol, right? Oh, you're so important that you would have to be reachable anywhere, anytime. Well, now basically all of us are. That's not special. That's not impressive anymore. What I'm hearing from some managers that actually the real flex is to say, you know what? I'm important enough that I can make other people wait. And this is carried over into use of things like fax machines and dumb phones. It's really interesting.
What are some of the other practical benefits, according to the folks you spoke to?
The big one is minimizing distractions. We all know that it can be a huge time suck to spend scrolling through your inbox, doom scrolling on social media. If you don't have a smartphone, for example, you're not going to fall into that trap. One example would be somebody like the chief executive of Diff, which is an online retail software maker, by the way. So not exactly a Luddite here and not a geezer, right? The CEO is 41 years old. His name is Ben Crudo, but he uses a dumb phone. And he says, look, what it means is that I have to be very disciplined about when I'm in my inbox. So I check email only from my computer, not on a mobile device. And I have designated times. I check it 9, noon, 3, and 6. And that's it. And aside from that, it can wait. Or if it truly can't wait, call me. You can reach me on my phone with an old-fashioned phone call, but I'm not going to be tethered to the device at all times.
Are there cases where the low-tech solution being used is almost the opposite of the business that these people are running?
I just think you can't beat the irony of Michael Linton, who is the chairman of Snap, which is known for making a messaging service that disappears into thin air. And he loves fax machines, paper and ink. It's like totally the opposite. But this sort of traces back to his time as the chief executive at Sony, which, of course, had a big cyber attack 10 years ago. And he said, look, he liked faxes even before then, but it really reinforced for him the cybersecurity aspect of the paper and ink fax machine. He said, look, you can't hack my fax, or at least I don't think you can hack it as easily as you could my emails. I've heard that from some other executives as well. And he also said, you know, the reality is people get so many emails these days that it's easy to get buried in somebody's inbox when you're trying to get their attention. If you send them a fax, it might be the only one they receive this week or maybe this decade. You have to give them a heads up, right? They may not be checking that fax machine otherwise. But he told me he's sort of reluctantly having to wean himself off the habit because fewer and fewer people even have the machines to receive them.
What about using old tech to kind of look cool?
There is a certain style to this, almost like the tech version of quiet luxury, right? I'm not going for flashy. It's the same kind of thing. The newest thing is I'm going to go low tech. And oh, by the way, people who are in the know that they can still be kind of pricey. You think about the Lite phone, which is stripped down. It's not a pure dumb phone, but definitely a minimal phone. The newest version goes on sale next year at $799, which, by the way, is the same starting price for the newly unveiled iPhone 16, if you can believe that. So it's not necessarily about being cheap.
All right, that was our columnist Callum Borchers. Coming up, got questions about the iPhone 16? We've got an AI bot with answers. That's after the break.
When it comes to your business, you always want more. More productivity for your line, more capacity for your data center fleets, more efficiency for your facility. But what if you could get more with less? Ecolab Water for Climate combines state-of-the-art technology and expertise to help reduce your water usage, lowering your operational costs, and leading toward more sustainable business growth. Less water, more productivity, more optimization. Less water, more capacity, more growth. Less water, more efficiency, more performance. Less water, more profitability. Get more for your business when you partner with Ecolab. Results will vary. Learn more at ecolab.com/EWC. Ecolab Water for Climate. Transforming the way the world thinks about water.
Every September, as the leaves start to change colors and kids head back to school, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern reviews the latest iPhones. This year, with Apple getting in on the generative AI revolution, Joanna decided to try something a little different. With the help of engineer Brian Witten and others, she created a generative AI buddy called JoannaBot to help with your iPhone 16 questions. And the real Joanna is here to tell us about it. So, Joanna, why did you decide to create JoannaBot?
Well, three reasons. The first is that this whole iPhone review process is getting to be a little bit like Groundhog Day. Every year, I review the phone. I've been doing this for 10 years plus now. And over the last few years, the phones have really not changed much. And I do find myself writing a lot of the same things year after year. Sure, there are slight camera differences, better battery life. There's only so many ways to put that in a really nice and succinct and clever way for readers. The second reason is that traditional reviews have always tried to answer a lot of questions. And sometimes you might not find that answer in what we usually is around 1,000 to 1,200 words. And so this is more open-ended. People can come in and ask really any question they want about iPhones. And then third, since Apple is now all about AI, why not make the review AI?
So what was the methodology for building JoannaBot?
The way we built this is it is using Google's Gemini large language model. And we then told the bot with programming and prompts that it was only to answer things based on a certain body of text. And that body of text was really compiled of three things. The first thing was my past reviews of the iPhones. The second thing we gave it was iPhone specs from Apple's website, so that it just had those firm specs of cameras and screen sizes and colors. And then the third was something that we didn't know we would need. I ended up writing a long document for just the bot, which we called internally the sort of the Bible, the iPhone review Bible, that just had my most important facts and feelings, everything that I know about covering Apple and covering and reviewing iPhones and what you should really think about when upgrading. So we took all of this text, it's a lot of text, we gave it to the system and said, this is what you know. You should only answer questions about this body of text. What we're seeing is that the bot can get things wrong. It can hallucinate like other generative AI bots, but for the most part, it's getting things right.
Okay, let's test out JoannaBot. And listeners, of course, can head over to wsj.com/JoannaBot if they want to do this themselves. Joanna, let's start with an easy question for JoannaBot. Is Siri any better on the iPhone 16? All right, I've got Siri has been redesigned on the iPhone 16. It has a more natural voice and can better understand you if you flub or change your query mid-sentence. It can also answer questions about your Apple products and their system settings. It adds, however, the iPhone 16 model will come with iOS 18 in September, but this software version does not include Apple Intelligence features.
I want to give like a giant round of applause to the bot there. I get so happy when the bot gets something so right and is exactly what I would have said, because not only the spec sheet, but the marketing from Apple will tell you that the new iPhone 16 has this better Siri. It has Apple Intelligence. But that second paragraph tells you, hey, not so fast. Keep in mind that Apple Intelligence, which is what the Siri is included in, doesn't come out till later, till iOS 18.1. That's going to be in October.
Okay, let's try something maybe a little more personal. This question actually comes from our producer, Julie Chang. She wants to know, should she upgrade her iPhone 11 since she spilled soda on it?
I want to see what I get. So the answer here, the first line is that's a sticky situation with a weird emoji face. See, funny bot. And then it says, while the iPhone 16 is the newest model, it's important to consider whether you need an upgrade. The iPhone 11 is still supported by Apple and can run the latest iOS 18 software. That is true. This includes a lot of new features. Then it goes to the features. If your iPhone 11 is still working, you might consider getting that soda damage repaired instead of upgrading. This is what I would have said.
You seem pretty positive about Joanna Bot's overall abilities. I wonder what human Joanna's thoughts are on the iPhone 16, though.
Honestly, it's like a lot of what Joanna Bot said there, which is like, there's a lot of new features, but it depends on what you're upgrading from. If you ask it, I've got an iPhone 15 Pro, it's going to tell you, like, Joanna's advice is you don't need to upgrade every year, that you still are going to have, you know, a very similar experience.
Joanna, there are several new versions of the iPhone 16 coming out. Is there a reason to choose the Pro versions, which are a little more expensive?
One of my favorite things about the bot is that you can click to generate a chart that shows you the differences between the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 16 Pro. And I think it does a really good job of highlighting why there's a $200 gap between these two models. And I say in the test notes on the page that I always do prefer the Pro models. You're paying $200 for another camera, that zoom camera on the back. You're also paying this year for better battery life, and you get a better screen. Though I will say this year, those base models that start at $799 are very good, and they give you some of the perks that you didn't usually get with the base models. So now you have the action button, you have this new camera control, you're going to get all the Apple Intelligence stuff.
So will Joanna Bot be answering questions about other products in the future?
Wow, I feel like I'm now a tech executive. I have to give like my canned response of, well, you know, we have a product roadmap that I can't share here today, but we're really excited about the potential of Joanna Bot.
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. We had additional support this week from Trina Menino. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.